Hey everybody, it's Larry Goins. How is everybody doing tonight?
Good. Doing super.
Great, Larry.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, not everybody likes to speak up, but that's okay. I know we got a lot of people on the line. If it's your first time joining us, welcome aboard. We're excited to have you. We got a lot of people on the line. Maybe it's your first time, maybe not. It's real casual. This is laid back, very easy going. So this is where I'll answer any and all questions that you might have about anything to do with real estate or your business or any of that stuff. So I don't mute the lines. Normally people are very respectful and are in a quiet place or whatever, but if we start hearing dogs barking or loud music or anything, I might have to mute the lines or, mention to go in a quiet room. So let's just kind of jump right in. And who has a question for tonight you'd like to kick it off with? Not everybody at once now.
Hey, Larry, this is Meg.
What's up?
I wanted to let you know first, that deal I was talking to you about a couple of weeks ago, that all happened. So I'm going to write it up and put it on the page.
Yay! That was awesome. Congratulations. I love it. Tell
yes.
Our listeners a little bit about that deal and about, about you emailing me and how we kind of turned
yes.
lemons into lemonade.
Oh, gosh, it was amazing. So that was actually the first mobile home I ever purchased.
Uh-huh.
It was the first auction property I ever purchased. It was the first seller finance deal I ever did. And everything was a little weird. So, but it's all turned out fine. So 18 months ago, actually, is when I sold this thing as a seller finance deal. And the guy's been making his payments. Very good. Yay. Then his grandmother emailed me 6 or 7 weeks ago and said, hey, my grandson's been making his payments and he's a good kid and this interest rate is insane and can we get the interest rate dropped? And, I was all like offended. So I emailed Larry and I said, how do I say no to this woman in a play way? And Larry was like, don't say no, say yes, and here's why. This is a great thing. So he gave me about 5 suggestions for how to make that a good deal. That yes, we could drop the interest rate in exchange for something. And the something in this case was a significant pay down of the principal. So what we ultimately decided was that they'd make an additional principal payment to get them down below 25% or above 25%. Pay down on the total purchase, and that I would drop the interest rate, and that we would also shorten the loan term so that their payments wouldn't get any lower, but the loan term would get a lot shorter. And it was really funny to go through the math on it with the note calculator and realize that even though my cash-on-cash return went down, my annual yield went up as a result of dropping the interest rate, taking the cash advance, and shortening the term. So that was very cool. So they came up with the payment, and the check is cleared, and the contract is rewritten, and we've done a modification agreement, and it's all done. Yay!
That's awesome. And you increased the yield on your note.
Yes.
That is great. I love it. I love it. That's awesome. That's awesome. In fact, every year you should offer your, like in January, you should offer all your seller finance buyers a reduction of principal for every, for example, for every $500 you pay down on your loan, I'll reduce your principal by $500. Or you could say for every $1,000 you put down, I'll reduce your principal by $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And all it's going to do is shorten the term. You're not going to lower the payment or anything, but it'll just shorten the term. So it's a great way to boost the yield every year on your loan. Is that pretty cool?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great idea, actually.
Yeah.
I actually got on the call tonight because I have a different question, although
okay.
I'm happy to tell you the good news.
Yeah, I'm glad you shared that. Thanks for sharing that with people. But yeah, go ahead and jump right in.
Yeah, this could also be good for me, not so much for my buyers. I have another house that I sold about 8 months ago, 10 months ago. They've been making payments. They made 8 months worth of payments, and of course there was a down payment. But she's now had a bad fall, and her increased medical expenses mean to them that they're not going to be able to continue to make the payments on the house. So they're going to move out.
Right.
And the question is, I use the same land contract for deed, whatever document that you used. My North Carolina attorney approved it.
Right.
And it just says, you know, this can be terminated. I feel like I should execute a new contract that says that we're terminating the old contract. Do you normally do that?
Well, let me ask you a question. It's in North Carolina, right?
Yes.
Did you record it?
It hasn't been recorded yet.
Oh, okay. Well, if it hasn't been recorded, you probably don't need that. However, what I would do is I would have them sign a cancellation of contract for deed. That way, if anything ever came up and you needed something, that is the formality, you know,
yeah,
the form that you need to be able to cancel a land contract in North Carolina, especially if it's recorded. So if something was to come up in the future and they would try to record something,
mm-hmm,
you know, to kind of, I don't know, to maybe mess you up or something, you know,
yeah,
if they would do that, I would definitely want to have that cancellation of land contract agreement signed and notarized.
So I started looking through the flash drive of documents, and I didn't see a template document for this. Do you have one, or I get my attorney to draft one?
I can send you one. Just shoot me an email,
okay,
and I'll send you one. But usually, like in North Carolina, Dale Fussell will do our stuff, and he'll draft one of those.
Yeah. Okay.
But I can, and I know Dale Fussell didn't do this one for you, or he would have recorded it.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't do this one. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll email you and see about getting a template.
That's
but anyway, so the good news here on this is that they, even though they only made 8 months of payments plus their down payment, they've returned quite a bit of my initial principal.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
now I get to sell it again.
That you get to sell it again is the key word.
You
get to. A lot of people say, I have to resell it. No, you get to resell it, right?
Absolutely.
That's good. That's good. Well, congratulations on that deal. Just shoot me an email, and I'll be glad to get you a sample.
I'll do that. Okay. Thanks, Larry.
Sure. Okay, thank you. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry. Deb Kennard and Matthews.
What's up?
Hey, thank you for doing these calls.
Oh, sure.
I have a question. If you
sure
buy a property on a land contract, is that basically owner financing?
Yeah, land contract is owner financing. It's just a form of owner financing where the seller keeps the deed until the loan has been paid in full.
Okay, so if you buy it on a land contract, do you sell it on a land contract as well?
You could, but if you're what I would prefer doing is buying on a mortgage or deed of trust and selling on a land contract.
How do you know when to do one versus the other? Like, in other words, how do you know whether to buy it using a land contract or buying it on a lease with option? How do you determine that?
Well, I always prefer to have the property in my name. That gives me the most protection. So if I'm buying on a land contract, the property would not be in my name. And the only time I would not want the property in my name, say if a lease option, as you mentioned, would be maybe if I'm taking it over subject to a big loan. I would prefer to do a lease option. I don't like doing those deals anyway, but you just asked me for, you know, an example or whatever. But if it had a big mortgage on it and they want you to take over the mortgage, instead I would rather do a lease option and then put somebody else in there on a lease option and do a sandwich lease option. That way you can get out of the deal if you need to, easier than defaulting on their loan, and then they're going to be really mad at you and may even sue you. So if you're taking over a property that has a big loan on it, I would personally rather do a lease option and do a sandwich lease on that. Outside of that, I would buy it where they deed the property to you and they take back a mortgage or deed of trust.
Okay, when you say a big mortgage, does that mean that the property is overvalued at what you're taking it over for?
No,
at the
what I mean is, like, let's say you're buying a property for $150,000 and, you know, they've got a good mortgage on it, but maybe they owe $140,000 or $145,000 or something, and they have hardly any equity, but they have a real low payment, and they want you to make the payment. So I would rather do a lease option than buy it subject to and promise them that you're going to make their payment for them.
Okay.
I'm a firm believer, if you take on a responsibility, if you take on a job, you're responsible for the outcome. So if you tell somebody, I'm going to make the payments on your $140,000 loan, what if you can't? What if something happens, you can't get it rented, you can't get it leased, you can't get it, you know, I'd a lot rather default on a lease than default on talking someone into deeding me their house with their existing mortgage in place, if that makes sense.
It does. So basically, if they have no equity, you want to do a lease with options.
Yeah, I don't do those kind of deals anyway. Some Ron LeGrand teaches some of this stuff. He calls it acts. You can do those kind of deals where you find people who are upside down or, you know, or can't make their payments anymore, and you just get them to deed you the house, and then you turn around and do a lease option with them or seller finance with them, do a wrap or do a land contract. I don't like those deals. They're sticky deals. You're tied to the seller for a while, and, you know, you get in the middle of it, and if your buyer doesn't pay, or the buyer trashes the house, or the buyer sues you, and then it's got the house tied up in litigation, and you're not going to make the payments. I just don't like those kind of deals. I am a firm believer. I want to negotiate the absolute best cash discounted price I can, and I'm going to pay the seller cash, and I never have to see or talk to them again. What do you think about that?
Well, okay, but if you're starting out and looking for, you know, a property with no money down, to where you go in and try to negotiate with a motivated seller, like somebody that's being relocated, job transfer. I have a deal right now I'm looking at.
Right.
And they moved, they had to relocate to a different state, different city, and they've got an existing mortgage on the property, which is top of the market.
Right.
But they owe pretty much what it's worth. A lease option would be a better deal, right?
For you to lease option the property?
Yeah.
And first of all, I would not do that kind of deal. But if I did, yes, a lease option would be preferable.
Okay, so basically, if you do a contract for deed, that's going to involve a whole lot more to put you on the line for a longer period of time. So there's really no advantage of doing that, right?
Not in my opinion, because you don't have title to the property anyway. I would, you know, if your goal is just to be able to get into a house very light, meaning without a lot of cash outlay, you know, you're taking over their loan or whatever, I would much rather do just a lease option and then do a sandwich lease option than go through the hassle of having them deed it to you, writing up a land contract, or deeding it to you and doing a wraparound mortgage, especially if they already owe money on it, which, you know, in these types of deals they do. I would just rather do a sandwich lease option than getting them to deed the property to you or get them to sell it to you on a land contract, and then you resell it. I think it's much simpler to do a lease option if you're going to do that kind of deal.
Okay, so if you do a lease option and your agreement is to, let's say, buy it for what they owe, okay, and then you find a tenant buyer that comes in and you've got a 3 to 5 year lease option, for example.
Right.
You can bump the price up a little bit and maybe bump the monthly payment up a little bit to where you have a positive cash flow every month, and then run it that way?
Correct. That's absolutely correct.
But then you're off the hook if you run into problems later.
If you default, if you run into problems later, maybe the buyer moved out, you can't find another, or your tenant moved out, you can't find another person to take it over, you know, to move in, then worst case scenario, it's a simple eviction for them. And I would much rather have somebody, you know, if you default, I'd much rather have them evict you than have to go through foreclosure. And then if you're the one that sold them on doing this deal to begin with, if they have to go through foreclosure, they're going to be really mad about it. Their attorney is going to say, wow, I wonder how many other people they're doing this to. Let's see if we can file a suit and then do a discovery and find out how many other people, and let's get everybody. You know, how many other people are they taking over their loans and not making their payments and ruining their credit? So I would much rather do that if I was going to, as a lease option like you just described.
Okay, got it. So
if
you get a down payment from your new tenant buyer, whatever amount you can get, then you just need to hold some of that money back, knowing they could default later until you get another person in there, if you can get another person in there, hopefully, to continue making payments. But if you don't, at what point do you notify the seller that you made the deal with that you can no longer do this?
Well, listen, if you... First of all, it's not a down payment. It's option consideration, okay? So option consideration is non-refundable anyway. But if they do default, you can't get somebody else in there, then you're probably not going to make the payments either. So they're going to be calling you. You're probably not going to notify them. They're going to be notifying you. Hey, where's my payment? Why haven't you made my payment? Right? But you could notify them and let them know, hey, look, here's what's going on. You know, just give me a month or so to get somebody else in. You know, that's possibly another option. You might even be able to have something in your contract that allows you to skip a payment if you are in between your own tenants. You know, everything is up for negotiation.
Okay, so that's a good clause to put in there then.
Yeah, it might be something you could add in there if you could get them to go for it. And you also want to make sure that they are aware, and you put it in your documentation, that you are doing a sandwich lease option. Your goal is to put somebody else in there, right? It's just like people are doing Airbnb now. They're renting a property by the month and then doing Airbnb and getting short-term rentals, you know, that are paying by the day.
Right. I heard that.
Yeah, you want to put something in there that they acknowledge that they are aware that you are doing a sandwich lease option.
Okay. All right. Thank
Good.
You.
Did
so
that help?
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Kind of a general question there, Larry.
Sure.
If you had some cash and you wanted to keep it liquid, what would you recommend? Is it seems like if you have a little more seasoning, a little more sophisticated. It seems like the trend is to go into notes, huh?
Well, notes are not necessarily liquid unless you have a, you know, ready-made note buyers out there. But if you're looking for short-term investments that have, you know, close to or low double-digit returns, hard money lending is always good because most hard money loans are going to be, you know, 6 to 12 months in duration.
Okay.
Yeah. But as far as buying notes, like 10, 15, 20-year notes, I wouldn't say they are much more liquid than a turnkey property, you know, a rental property that has a tenant in it. You know, because a note, just like a property, they're going to want to qualify the borrower. It amazes me when you're trying to sell a note, everybody is all concerned about the borrower. What's the borrower's credit? What's their pay history? What's this? What's that? What's their debt ratio? What's this? But they'll buy a house all day long with a tenant in it and never ask anything about the tenant. Right?
Right, right.
So,
good point.
So, yeah, as long as you have buyers for notes, notes are, you know, can be pretty liquid, but, you know, you've got to have note buyers lined up.
I see. And there are websites for those, aren't there?
Yeah, there's Loan MLS. You know, there's other stuff as well.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the best place is just to find some individuals.
Okay.
You know, individuals that'll buy notes. That's what I would typically do, is sell my notes to an individual.
Okay. And typically, how would you market those? Would you, is there a, you know, maybe like a Craigslist for notes?
Well, there's Loan MLS, and then there's, well, it sounds like you probably have my Filthy Riches course, right?
I do.
Yeah, well, there's a, if you look in the bonuses section, there's a note buyers directory that has a listing of all the buyers of cash flow and income streams.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. There's probably a couple hundred of them in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, good. I hope that helps.
It did.
Actually, I just want to mention, I do have a friend who sells her notes on Craigslist.
Really?
So, Craigslist for notes is Craigslist.
That's awesome.
Oh.
You got to be careful how you do it. Remember all those rules about, you know, how you raise money and
right,
not making promises and stuff.
Exactly. You don't want to be, you don't want to get in trouble as far as offering securities or anything like that.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you got to be very careful with that. Good. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Anybody else have a question?
Larry, this is Monty.
What's happening?
I bid on some property near the river, and she called me and she said, you want to bump your bid up? And I kept bidding it up, and I said, no, this is high as I'm going to go. And nothing happened to the property. And I called her and I said, what are they going to do with it? And she said, well, they're just going to sit on it, talking about the mortgage company.
Right.
And now I find out it sold. I bid $25,000. It sold for $14,000 through Home Path.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if you'd ever experienced something like that when the bids were, you know, close to the what they were asking, and then it sold for a ridiculously low price. $14,000 when they were trying to get $34,000.
What was the time frame between when you were bidding and they accepted the $14,000?
I'm going to say it's about five to six months.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why it's important to stay on top of properties and keep bidding on a regular basis and following up with deals, because I've seen deals where we would offer $30,000 or $40,000, and then 6 months later, they're listed for $20,000 or $30,000, and we can pick it up for $10,000 or $15,000. So you just have to stay on top of that stuff. I know it can be aggravating, but have a good system like Podio or something to keep up to date.
Yeah, I just happened to come across it by mistake and saw that it was on Realtor.com back at the same price at 34, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to bid on it again. And right. Then I went into my MLS, and the dude had already been sold for $14,000.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
So
that definitely happens.
Okay, I didn't know if you'd experienced that or not, but I was really ticked.
Yeah, it definitely happens.
That's okay.
Why you gotta stay on top of them. And they don't remember the people that bid more 6 months ago. They just look at what's in front of them, right?
Well, that's true. And I should have done that, and I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem at all. I'm glad to help.
Hey.
Thanks a lot. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry?
Yes, sir.
Yes, this is Leo from Brownsville.
Hey.
Just to add a question to the sub two you were speaking about maybe about a few minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever known, or I know you don't like to do them, but have you ever known to maybe like wholesale a sub two, like maybe like an assignment of contract? Would that be something recommended, or it's kind of an out?
Well, you can, but I don't like to do those kind of deals. Think about this, okay? You find somebody, whether it's from your ads on Craigslist or they're running an ad, they're trying to sell a house. Let's say they own a house that is worth about $250,000, and let's say maybe they owe $240,000, okay? And they're just trying to, you know, get paid off, just pay off their loan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you take it over. Right? Let's say you take it over and you offer to give them $5,000. So you're paying $245,000. You offer to give them $5,000. And then hey, I'm going to take over your loan. I'll make the payments or get somebody in here that can. And then you go find somebody else that is willing to pay you $260,000 and they put $10,000 down, right?
Right.
And then, okay, so you've made $5,000 up front, and mm-hmm. now everything is going along fine, and then all of a sudden the person you sold it to has quit making the payments. Or,
mm-hmm.
or you know, any number of things could happen. You know, maybe the servicing gets transferred, servicing gets messed up, insurance lapse, the house burns down, who's liable for all that? There's so many things that could happen. That's why I don't like to be tied to a seller, you know, any
yeah.
of the time after a closing. I just mm-hmm. want to pay them cash. I never have to talk to them again, and we're done, right?
Yeah.
But if you're tied to a seller and then you bring in a third party, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I hate to say this, and this sounds really bad, but it's almost like asking your wife, can my girlfriend come over and have dinner? You know? and you see what I'm saying? It's just a mess. I don't like subject to, I don't like sandwich lease options. I don't like any of that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be involved in any of that stuff, or a girlfriend
gotcha.
Because I'm married. Right?
Gotcha.
So that's the reason I don't like subject two. There's just so many things that could go wrong with it. You know,
mm-hmm.
servicing transfer, insurance, you know, buyer defaults, seller wants to move back in, you know. Seller goes and talks to an attorney. You didn't prepare the disclosures correctly.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The seller decides they want to buy another house. Now they want you to pay the loan off to clear up their credit. so they could buy another house.
Mm-hmm.
Some friend of them told them about an attorney that can help them because they sold their house and kept the loan in place. Well, you can't do that. That's not their loan. There's just so many things that could go wrong with those deals. I don't like them at all, don't want to do them, and don't recommend it. But there's people out there that do it, and they do very well, and they never had a problem, never had an issue. But, you know, I like to keep things simple. I'm going to make as many offers as I can, as low as I can, and get them for cash, even if I have to borrow the money, right? Even if you'd have to
right.
borrow the money, I would much rather buy it at a deep discount, pay cash, and then, you know, you're not tied to the seller. You're not tied to the seller and the buyer. You don't have to worry about the seller messing up or going crazy on you. You don't have to worry about your buyer defaulting and then going back to the seller and explaining what happened. There's none of that stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, good.
All right.
I think I beat that dead horse enough.
Okay. The next question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Could you run through a brief kind of explanation of how so I'm looking for private lenders to use their retirement accounts to buy houses, and how would I set up the paperwork, or what would be the process of having that loan come to me to buy the property?
Are you talking about the actual loan?
Yeah, like if I have somebody
that has money. You're not talking
about
finding the private money lenders. You're talking about how would you structure the transaction.
Exactly.
Okay. So once you have a private money lender, let's say you're buying a house for $33,000. You tell your private lender, hey, I got a property. I'm getting it for $33,000. With closing costs, it's going to be about $35,000, you know, and let's say they agreed to loan it to you. Interest only, 10%, right? And and then, you know, interest only, 10% for 1 year or 3 years or whatever. All you got to do is call up the attorney and tell the attorney that, you know, here's my lender's name and number, and I'm borrowing $35,000, 10%, interest only for 3 years. And please write up the note, mortgage, and then you could even tell your private money lender, can you just write closing instructions and write it to the attorney, here are the terms, so that way everybody knows what's going on, and the attorney can draft the note and mortgage for you. They can do all that. It's not
basically
a big deal.
Just let the attorney handle it.
Oh, yeah, the attorney will handle the legal part of it.
Sure.
No problem at all.
Okay. Now, what about if you have like somebody? Is there a form? Say, if you have an account with like I don't know, Quest or Equity Trust or one of those. Is it the same deal? Is there a specific form that has to be filled out to be able to draw that money from someone?
The custodian is going to have. They're going to have to fill out an investment directive for that. But all they'll do is. With the investment directive, they'll fill it out for the amount of money and the attorney's name, and they'll write the address of the property, and it's for a note and the wiring instructions, and they'll wire it. And then when the attorney closes, they will send all the paperwork back to the custodian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds simple enough.
There you go.
Thank you.
Can I just say what Larry just said was, yes, there's a form, but the custodian will give it to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
It's on all their websites. If you go to any of their websites, Equity Trust, Camaplan, Quest, Kingdom Trust, any of them, and you click on resources or forms and docs, it's going to be it's what's called an investment directive.
Okay, that's exactly what the term I was looking for.
Yeah, that's it.
Great. Thanks. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question? You guys have had some good questions tonight.
Okay. Hey, Larry Seb again.
Hey.
Question. So, are the properties that you're buying the most off of MLS or HUD that you're paying cash for?
Yes. MLS and HUD. That's where most of them come from.
So you negotiate a deep discount
right.
to where it makes sense, and you just go ahead and use private money or your own money and buy them, and you're in and out.
Correct.
Got it.
That's absolutely correct.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Oh, I do have one question, Larry.
Sure.
During the Inner Circle conference, you had mentioned there was an entity that was going to contact us about establishing our business entity.
Uh-huh.
Are they to contact us, or are we to reach out to them?
Yeah, if you'll send me an email, just send me an email and ask me about that, and I'll forward it on to them.
Okay. I sure will.
I'll be glad to.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Anybody else?
Hey, it's Deb again.
Hey.
So what do you normally pay private lenders, 8-10% normally? What's your usual?
If I am borrowing private money myself, I like to stay as close to 8% as I can. But I also sometimes will offer, like, I'll borrow the money at maybe an 8% flat rate, or maybe what we'll do is 6%, but I'll give you half the equity if my lease option tenant or my land contract buyer pays me off.
For what time period?
Usually about 3 years. Because within 3 years, I'll probably have them paid off anyway if I'm borrowing it.
Do you finance, or does your buyer pay you out?
It's typically either the buyer, or I can just pay it off because of the other option monies I've received down or other cash flow that I have coming in on other properties.
Okay, got it. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else?
Hey, Larry, it's Meg. I don't have a question, but I just want to say thank you so much for doing these calls faithfully and cheerfully. It's a huge bonus for everybody who's been through any of your trainings.
That's great. Thank you, Meg. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I second the motion as well. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
I third the motion.
That's good. I love it. I love it. Are you guys liking the calls with Turk?
Was that last week?
Yeah. Turk gets on the first and third, and I think I'm the second and fourth.
Okay.
Yeah, does anybody get on the calls with Turk?
I've listened to the recording.
Oh, okay.
I've been on the calls. They're pretty good. They're very helpful. My opinion, they're very helpful.
Good. That's good. We're starting some new calls starting this year. You guys should have received notification about them, where Nathan is going to be doing live calls with sellers and deal analysis calls, where he's going to take an individual deal and analyze it.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So if you don't have any information on that, email customerservice@LarryGoins.com, and we'll get you all the information for that.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank
good.
You.
Anybody else have any questions? All right, going once. Going twice. Well, you guys know you can always email me anytime you want to in between, and some of you do. I really appreciate the emails. I appreciate you guys being on the calls, and we appreciate your business. And please, please don't hesitate to reach out to me if you have any questions whatsoever. We're here for you. We want to help you. And make sure you get on all these calls. I do these calls every other week, the second and fourth Monday. Turk does his the first and third Monday. And now Nathan is doing a monthly call with live sellers, live seller and buyer calls, and deal analysis calls. So make sure you get on those as well. And we also have a knowledge base. You know, and that's something that we just started this year as well. So if you don't have access or log into the knowledge base, email customer service and they'll get you on that as well. We got a lot of good content and information on there as well. So I really appreciate you guys being on tonight. Thanks so much for your great questions. And we appreciate your business. And let me know if you need anything. We're here for you.
Oh,
thanks
real,
a lot,
real,
guys. I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Oh, real quick, Larry.
Yes.
You mentioned there's another week of calls, but you only speak on weeks 2 and 4?
Correct.
So there's a call-in every week?
Yeah, there's a first and third Monday of the month, and a second and fourth Monday of the month is me. The first and third is Turk
okay.
doing the